forging the future. Right then, said Ricker, arranging herself in Scarling's chair in a manner that aimed for carefree and commanding at once, and probably missed both by an equal margin. Time to hand out the rewards. Isern's jaw worked as she chewed. And the punishments? Aye. Ricker tweaked that fine fur about her shoulders and wriggled her back as straight as she could. Those two. Shivers gave the guards a nod, and there was a mighty creaking as the doors of Scarling's hall were swung wide. Helps to start on a happy note, so it was the conquering heroes of Ufrith and the West Valleys that were shown in first. Hardbred swaggered at their head like a man a third of his age. The Nail, who really was a third of his age, loped along beside him with that round-shouldered hunch, hand slack on the battered pommel of his sword, a few new scabs and scuffs on him from the battle, but none the worse for that. None the worse at all. Well, didn't you boys do me proud? Called Ricker. I'd offer you gifts, but I reckon the dead already did.
A bauble or two?
And Hardbred whirled a golden chain around on his pointed finger to widespread cheers.
Hardbred, said Ricker. You stood by my father through good times and bad. Now you've done the same for me. I'm naming you my second.
His grey brows shot up.
Yeah? Aye. And I'll need you to start by keeping my chair warm a while.
Those brows rose even higher.
What, Scarling's chair? He may not have been a hero in quite your league, but I dare say you can lower yourself to his level for a week or two.
And I can think of few men indeed, said Isern, more practiced than you at sitting down.
Hardbred eyed the chair as if he had some doubts.
Where will you be?
I've a little trip to take before I can sit here secure.
Ricker found she was fussing with the emeralds around her neck and let them drop.
I hear tell my old friends the young lion and his wife.
Fanciest bitch I ever saw,
threw in Isern,
have seized power in the Union. Quite the power seizers, them twain. However you push them down, they keep floating back to the top, do you see, like a pair of goat turds in the well.
Shivers was turning that ring with the red stone around and around his little finger.
I hear little Leo's taken a turn towards the vengeful.
Something wounded warriors are prone to do,
said the Nail, looking thoughtfully towards the corner where Stour's cage used to hang.
And most warriors end up wounded one way or another, lamented Hardbred, rubbing at his lip. Why, I still remember the day Wirren a Bligh caught me in the mouth with...
I need to go down to Adjur, said Ricker. See if I can patch up the cracks in our friendship.
The Nail gave a snort.
Cracks? You stabbed him in the back, more than once.
Patch up the knife holes, then, before Leo gets it in his head to put a few in us. The North never does well out of wars with the Union. What we need is peace. And smiles, and trade.
And jokes, said Shivers, stony-faced. I've always liked to laugh.
Can't think of many better jokes than me in Scarling's chair,
murmured Hardbred, though it wasn't long ago folk would have reckoned the idea of Ricker in it even funnier. He gave his backside a thoughtful squeeze.
My arse is a fair bit broader than yours, I reckon.
So the seat'll be toasty upon my return, said Ricker, to some laughter from the room. And now the Nail. Wasn't long ago you were an enemy to be feared. I'd thank Stour Nightfall for being fool enough to turn you into a friend, but thanks are wasted on the dead. The West Valleys are yours already. I'd like to add two more to your land on the eastern side.
You're generous as well as beautiful,
said the Nail, with a hint of a grin.
I live with one of two, but I need something from you in return.
Name it.
I have heard tell you like a fight.
He grinned wider.
I can stand a scuffle in the right cause.
Seems folk in Ollansand have come over sour about me taking charge. They've shut up their gates. Say they're doing things their own way from now on.
Can't have that, whispered Shivers.
You let one sheep pick its own path, said Isern, and for you know it, the whole herd's got opinions. The nail slowly nodded.
I'll make them aware of their error.
Gently, eh? No need to whistle up the dogs to begin with. I'd rather they came willing.
And if they won't?
Bring them unwilling.
Right ya.
The nail loitered a moment, like he had something more to say. She could guess what was on his mind. What happened between the two of them before he went away? It was on her mind, too. She'd have liked to say stay, even if it was just for a night, even if it was just for a quick fumble behind the kitchen. But a leader has to be careful who she lets in, who she's seen to let in, especially a she. The nail scratched at his pale beard, looking at her sidelong, mouth open like he was about to speak. When he paused, Ricker didn't help him. She couldn't afford to.
Right ya,
he said again and strode out, waving his men after. No sooner had they quit the place than Isern's brothers were strolling in, a pack of tattooed hillmen and hillwomen at their backs.
Scofen and Senifail, called Ricker, were two fat bastards ever more beloved of the moon than you twain.
My father always said a man should have some meat upon him, said Scofen, laying a great hand on his great belly.
His worth is his girth, said Sen,
combing his fingers through his riot of red beard. There has been bad blood between the clans of the north and the people of the hills for far too long, said Ricker. Since the time of Crummick Ifail and Bethard, and since times long before. But that's all washed away. You were there when I needed you, and I'll be there if you need me. That's my promise. But since promises are cheap, you can take the land we discussed as well.
Truth is, you've already done us a service beyond reckoning by taking our sister off our hands, said Sen. Every moment her tongue is stabbing at you is a moment it's not stabbing at us, said Scofen.
Isern blew some chagger spit, which spattered on Scofen's shirt and made him grin.
Mind you don't get stabbed with something sharper, she said.
I think of her as a sister myself, said Ricker. An older, tougher, wiser sister at that. Reckon that makes you my brothers, and family should keep in touch. Ricker sat forward. I say we open up the ways into the hills, build better roads, and set to trade in more than wounds. I've fond memories of that ale I sampled last time I was with you. Coal in the hills, too, I hear, and copper. No doubt we've got things of iron and steel and cloth you might find useful.
No doubt,
said Sen, reaching out to rub thoughtfully at the sleeve of Hardbred's mail coat between big finger and thumb. A couple of you should take the voyage to Adua with me, see the world, sample the pleasures of civilization, take some ideas with you and bring a few back. Show folk down there the North's united. Together we'll make worse enemies and better friends, and it'll be a thing we can all profit from.
Ah, enemies and profits, Scofen's eyes lit up. Things our father loved almost as much as the moon.
And there was laughter and backslapping and trading of well-meaning insults and overblown tales of the battle. But being a leader can't all be grinning at friends. Sooner or later, you'll have to frown on your foes. Calder's man Flatstone was marched in next, battered and bandaged. His hands were bound, but he stood as if he meant to die with his pride intact, which was a thing Ricker supposed she could admire. Lurking at his shoulder, Shivers pulled out that bright little knife. Might be he didn't catch the light on the blade on purpose and flash it in Flatstone's face, but Ricker wouldn't have bet on it.
You're Broad Flatstone, she said.
I am.
One of Black Calder's war chiefs.
I was.
How many of my folk did you kill in the battle?
Flatstone gave Shiver's blade a glance, then set his jaw and lifted his chin.
Many as I could.
Huh. How long did you serve Black Calder?
More in 20 years, since I won my name at the Battle on the Heroes. Joined Calder then. A lot of folk were doing it.
Flatstone took a breath through his broad nose and let it puff away.
And I'd do the same again. He was a great leader in his time. But his time's done. No arguing with that.
Flatstone lowered his head.
His time's done, and yours has come, and that's the way of things.
The question on my mind is, could you be as loyal to me as you were to him? He looked up sharply and blinked about the room. Then he squared his shoulders.
I believe I could. A big man like you could kneel to a little woman like me.
I'd say you were over middle height, muttered Isern.
Aye, but that spoils the balance of the phrase. No shame kneeling to a woman who's proved herself the way you have, said Flatstone.
Ricker raised her brows.
So? Oh, right.
And with a pained grunt, hands still bound behind him, Flatstone wobbled down to one knee. My father always said, why waste what can be used? Reckon that goes for men as much as aught else. More, since so much effort goes into making the bastards. Some mutters of agreement from the warriors about the hall. They didn't mind mercy for a fighter who'd fought his hardest. They knew they might end up kneeling where he was one day if luck tipped the wrong way. I want you to gather any of your carls who lived through the battle and are willing to serve me, and take the bones of these crinner fucks back the way they came. While you're out there, teach any that have wandered across the water since a hard lesson. You understand?
Flatstone nodded. I do. I do. I do, Chief.
Shivers cut the rope on Flatstone's wrists, and as he stood, handed him back the axe he'd given up on the day of the battle, bright gold swirling on the blade. He looked up at Ricker as he took it.
I appreciate the chance. Won't let you down.
Oh, I know.
Ricker turned her long eye towards him.
I've seen it.
He swallowed and strode for the door.
Soft,
grunted Isern sourly.
It's worth giving your enemies a chance. They know they can't expect one and might be thankful for it.
Ricker frowned sideways.
Friends are much harder to please.
And indeed, Isern's scowl got deeper than ever as the next pair were dragged in. Corleth and her granny, dirty from the cells and with their hands bound tight.
Easy, said Ricker. We won, remember? We can afford to be generous.
Just 'cause you can afford it, grunted Isern as the young woman and the old were shoved down before the dais and left squinting in the sunlight,
doesn't mean you should buy it.
Is Corleth even your name?
It is.
The girl didn't look much chastened, her jaw jutting, as much fight in her as when she first came to Ufrith.
Got anything to say for yourself?
Asked Ricker.
I could kneel here and spew excuses, but you all know me for a liar. Where'd be the point?
We'd done what was asked of us,
croaked out the old woman.
Shame you didn't do it better, sneered Isern. You might not be kneeling there.
Ricker held up a hand for silence.
I reckon a lot of folk would like to see you cut with the bloody cross as traitors and spies.
She let the silence stretch, heavy with the weight of lives in the balance.
But I'm minded to be merciful. We wouldn't have hooked Black Calder without you offering the bait, after all. You wandered into Ufrith so you could tell him what we were about. Now you can wander down to Austenhorm. Tell me what the Union are up to.
This helping of mercy wasn't at all to the men's folk's taste. They could see past a man trying to kill him, but a woman tricking him was too much to stand.
Thought you wanted peace with the Union, grunted Hardbread, and trade and smiles.
I'll smile easier knowing what they're up to, said Ricker.
I don't know no one down there, said Corlith.
Good a liar as you are, I'm sure you'll soon make new friends.
What about my granny?
She really your granny?
She is.
I'm half tempted to keep her here so she can make me soup.
Ricker sat back, considering.
But it seems a shame to split up a winning act. Cut 'em free, Shivers.
And he did, showing no sign of whether he thought it a good idea or a bad.
Thank you, Black Ricker,
said Corlith's granny, near kissing the floor.
You won't regret this.
True,
and Ricker tapped her cheek. I've seen that, too.
Soft,
hissed Isern, shaking her head, and she wasn't alone in her opinion. Lots of grumbling, some outright scowls. One man spat at Corlith's feet as she walked out. It was a wearying business. Proving yourself once as a leader is never enough. You have to do it fresh with every choice. A miserable crowd came next, kicked and bundled into Scarling's Hall, forced down on the pitiless stones before her, chains rattling. Stand i' the barrows, men. Stripped of their armour of bones and with their paint all smeared off, they looked a lot less fearsome. One was trembling, one might have been weeping. No matter how savage a face you show the world, few men dare look the great leveller in the eye once he comes calling. She felt the old tug towards mercy and sat back frowning in Scarling's chair.
You bastards crossed the crinner, she said.
Their leader shuffled forwards on his knees, his chin near touching the floor and the lank hair hanging around his face.
We was invited, great queen,
he whined, speaking northern with an accent which was an offence upon the ear.
We was invited!
Not by me, she snapped, making him flinch.
Stand to the barrows, a man the world will not much miss, planned to see how many of my bones he could cut out while I was still alive.
There was a snivelling and a mewling, like she'd a pack of beaten dogs before her. She took a long, slow breath.
But I'm not stand o' the barrows.
She waved a gracious hand.
Suffering doesn't make me smile.
The leader bowed even lower.
You are wise and merciful, great queen.
I like to think so.
She nodded to Shivers.
Kill 'em first, then boil 'em down to the bones. Then get Flatstone to send the bones back across the crinner. Maybe that'll teach their kind to stay on their side of the water.
She watched them dragged out, gibbering and weeping, and had a sense the faces of the warriors in the hall were changed. No scornful glances now, eyes mostly to the floor, indeed. Her father would have said it's a good thing to show mercy, long as you also show, when it's needful, that you can make of your heart a stone. Isern offered a chagger pellet, and Ricker took it and stuffed it up behind her lip.
You approve?
Do you hear me disapprove?
Asked Isern. And so it went. They marched in or were dragged in, those who'd fought on one side or the other, those who'd served her or served Black Calder. She stuck mostly to mercy, but she made some examples too. Enough, she judged, to keep the North orderly while she was off striking a bargain with the friends she'd turned into enemies. The day wore on, and the strips of sunlight from the tall windows crept across the stone floor, from one side of Scarling's Hall to the other, till the room was mostly empty, and the flood became a trickle, and the trickle dried up to naught.
Not everyone,
asked Ricker, sitting back.
Just one more, said Shivers.